Hey everyone, this is Cross the Grindo from Phase 1 Trading. Welcome to episode 8 of P1 Talks. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, don't forget to like and subscribe to this channel if you find our content helpful. You can also follow us on Twitter at Phase 1 Trading and search the show using the hashtag P1 Talks to get up-to-date insight on our trading community. You can also visit us at phase1trading.com for more information on our group. We heard your feedback. We've been listening. We are currently working on duplicating our existing catalog of videos in the effort to make our current and future content more accessible to a wider audience. So with that being said, tonight we're excited to bring a very special guest on our show. This man has a great knowledge of the stock market and probably better than anyone else on FinTwit, in my opinion. You guys know him as Radio Silent. Welcome to the show, buddy.
I appreciate that intro.
I mean, it's true. I mean, that's how I feel.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. There's a lot of, you know, difference of opinion. You know, I've seen guys tell me that I'm one of the most overrated tweeters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always say that, you know, unique perspective is true.
Yep.
So everybody's going to have their own opinion, but you have to embrace it. So I really appreciate it. And I'm really, you know, I was really looking forward since you told me to be on the show. I saw the list of people that you guys had, and and it's a great list. So I'm honored. I'm honored. And, I appreciate it.
And we're honored to have you on the show. So, all right. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. I guess let's start talking about the surge of money and volatility that has been coming into the market lately. And I know we all have seen it and we all felt it. So my question is, has this caused more of a positive or negative effect on your overall trading lately? You know, if all the volatility, all the money coming in, has it affected you a different way, or is it all kind of still the same?
I could never say that it's affected me illfully, because I've never seen, you know, from the times that I've have traded, and I've been trading for quite some time, I haven't seen this how easy it's been these couple of months. And I think that it can be a little bit overwhelming for certain people, because they start thinking that it's just this easy. And look, I'm not going to say that it's not easy or it's not hard, because what I want to make sure is that everybody creates their reality. But right now you can feel it in the air, where there's just so much confidence in this market. And what happens with that is that speculation rises. So whenever you have heavy speculation, what happens? You get more people to be a little bit less, I guess, following the rules. And one of the things that I say about, you know, the universe, how the universe works, is that the markets really don't care whether you win or lose. Because all there is just winners and losers, profits and losses. But the universe sees everything as decision leads to consequence, action leads to reaction. And when you get in these type of markets, you can start kind of like losing kind of that viewing of that rule set.
Right.
And one of the things that I tell my guys is, make sure you understand this, because the trend is your friend until the end. And I say it is what it is until it isn't. So right now, if you look at the markets, yeah, they're bullish. One of the indicators that I look at is the TLT, and the treasury bonds are shit right now. I mean, they've closed below key moving averages twice. And now if you look at the weekly chart on the 20-year treasury, it's ripped through that 100-day moving average gap down. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going to go. But at the same note, traders have to be smart. Because the objective, I always say, look, I'm not a trader or an investor in this shit. What I do is I practice the law of infinite return. I start off with the least amount of money and infinitely grow it. So even if I lose, it really doesn't affect me. You know what I mean?
Agreed. So I know we're constantly adjusting to the shift of the market as well. I think we can all agree there's been a shift lately, and we all felt it. You know, it's obviously been a lot more bullish than it was, you know, maybe the beginning of 2020, you know, and then when COVID started and whatnot. So for some people, I think it's probably getting tougher to find, like, you know, bottomed out plays and whatnot. So that being said, like, what are your thoughts on, like, fundamentals versus charts, especially with the recent, you know, market conditions? that we're
Well,
witnessing.
you don't want me to answer that, because I always say that fundamentals are shit. Let me tell you something. Right now, it's the Warren Buffett effect. If you really think about, if you were buying stocks that were shit like a couple of weeks, I guess you could say months ago, right? Look at every stock right now. When you have a stock like BNGO, not to say that BNGO is shit, but I picked up BNGO at 50 cents, Mara at 40 cents, IDEX at 42 cents. So when you look at what's it called, at what the market is doing, think about it. If you would have just held a stock like DPW, if you would have held a stock like BNGO, if you would have held a stock, what was the big runner not too long ago? TRXC. Remember, TRXC was a garbage stock, 36 cents. And that thing ended up hitting a high of, I think, $4 to $6. So what I'm saying is, look, sometimes it has nothing to do with fundamentals. You know what I mean? Right now, the market is saying, yo, everything's on watch. And I threw out a tweet and I said, you know, I usually do updates at night. I said, buy everything. Fundamentals, if you look at it, okay, look at what's happening now with GameStop. I mean, is GameStop a viable company? It's the power of the internet. And I always say that there's only two drivers to this market, and they're emotional. It's the fear of loss and the fear of missing out. If you can understand that, then you can find balance.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So that's how I kind of feel about it. But again, other people will disagree with me.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got their own opinion and whatnot, but yeah, as long as you stick to your own truths and your own values, then that's really all that matters in the end. You do your own thing. So,
Right,
who
and
cares what anyone else thinks?
I like to add a little bit. If you look at a lot of stocks right now, they're all threading that 8 and 21 day moving average. And I use that number because a mentor of mine had told me, look, listen, most traders statistically hold stocks from anywhere to a week to 3 weeks. And if you look at all stocks, they're basically threading that 8 day moving average. Now, if it gets really far away from that, then you kind of avoid it, because now those moving averages act as magnets and you're taking on a little bit
That's
more
it.
risk. But you could still find some good stocks. Like there's a stock that I picked up on a pullback, and I think it's one of the good bottom ones. I'm probably going to release it this week just to make sure it confirms above these moving averages, and I'll send it out. But there's still some nice plays out there.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. So, with that being said, I think we've seen a lot of I guess a lot of pumping with many different styles. I guess what we were just talking about kind of relates to what we were just talking about a second ago. So, I think there's been a lot of pumping with different stocks on Twitter lately. When I see that kind of volatility, for me as an experienced day trader, that's the type of stuff I take advantage of. But for people that are like new and people just coming into the market and not knowing what they're doing, they're kind of left, holding the bag. So what are your thoughts about like pumping in general? Just in general of like pumping. Like, is that something you seize the opportunity, you take advantage of, or is more like, I'm gonna stay away from it, I'm not gonna, I don't day trade, I'm just gonna, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing about me is that I never kind of put a label on myself. If my stock hits a personal profit margin and it does it within a day, then I guess for that day I'm a day trader. But overall, this concept of pumping, the entire market is a pump. If you really think about it, since the inception of the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, the dollar has been devalued. The reason the markets go up is because you got a shit dollar. So the entire market is a pump. But you have to realize this too, that when you bring awareness, it's a considered a pump. If you look at movies like Wall Street, what were they always doing? They were getting on that phone. You know what I mean? Now we're in a precipice because we're in the future. And now you're talking about how many forums do you have? You have social media, Twitter, which that's the one that I primarily use. You have Facebook, you have these Discord rooms. Think about all these people in these rooms. So entirely, it's going to be a pump. Now, if you can gravitate towards going into a stock that you're seeing massive amounts of volume and you could take on a risk reward trade, why not? Embrace it rather than just hate on it. And I think that that's the thing that I see with a lot of people. What they do is they're in that fear. They start becoming tribal, and because they don't have the balls to jump on that stock, they'll start going and start making these Twitter handles and just start bashing people. Oh, he's a pump. But you need that flow of information. Because if that flow of information doesn't happen, what happens? That stock is stagnant. Look at, I'll give you an example. Ticker symbol FAMI, FAMI. It's a mushroom stock. When I picked up that stock, it was like 119, 120. Nobody was talking about it. But as people started picking it up, okay, today, what did we hit? We hit a high of $2.30. I'm glad for those people that started talking about it and pumping it. I guess you could say it's a pump, but regardless, it's putting money in your pockets. Don't make reasons not to buy. You know, let me give you a question. Let me give you a question, because I believe that everybody in the world is a master trader. Okay, we just don't know it. So one of the questions that I have, whenever you walk in or you go into your car or you travel to go, let's say, to a Walmart or a Costco, do you go there with the intent not to buy something? Do you like think about it. Do you ever go there not to buy something?
No, I usually go in and there's always obviously something I
Right.
want, yeah.
Exactly. But why is it in the markets that we always find reasons not to buy something? Oh, that's a pump. I don't want to buy it. Oh man, I'm gonna start looking for fundamentals to find out why not to buy it. And I think that that bias screws people over, because by the time you look at it, now it's up 15, 20%, and now you're punching walls because you missed it, because you didn't have the balls to do it. Remember, the whole thing about this is probabilities. It's either you're either gonna lose or you're gonna win. The way I see it is, I never lose because I learn. That losing effect is going to be a learning process for me. And I think that people got to start realizing, because the shit that you have in your pocket, it has no worth. All
Exactly.
it has is confidence right now. So why are you so worried about losing it? And that's the thing that I want people to kind of understand. You trade every day, because when you wake up in the morning, you go do a shit job, right? And when you get to that shit job, you're in your hour five or six, but you're not punching walls. Your hands are not getting clammy. That you're basically giving up your finite time that you're never going to get back, in order for you to get a shit pay that you end up giving it away anyway. And that,
Exactly.
once you understand that, you're like, okay, it snaps. Let me take that trade.
Exactly. Gross. That was well said, dude. That was really well said. All right. So, like, another thing that I did want to get to is one thing I know that I personally have shifted away from since the last year around like September is being more patient with my plays. I mean, this goes exactly what we were saying, especially with swing trading lately. You know, I've been sticking to my game plan, whether if it's respecting my stop loss under a support level I mapped out, or securing profits at certain milestones on the way up. So what are your thoughts on, like, for new people getting into the market, or even experienced people getting into the market, into like swing trading in this current market that we currently have right now? I think you already kind of answered that question earlier, but if you could maybe elaborate a little more on people that are actually swing trading in this market, is it more just like build confidence, stick to your plan, like what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on swing trading specifically?
Well, the way I look at it is that, confidence is one of the most important things. I think the most important thing and the most powerful thing that human beings have is belief. And you'll hear me say, I am in Barbados. And I am in Barbados was derived from a gentleman by the name of Neville Goddard. And what that means is that the inner world creates the outer world. And I think that a lot of people live in this anxious kind of like doubt and uncertainty life. So what happens is, when they take on a trade, they're already at a loss, because they always already think that the stock is shit, and they're like, damn, I bought too high. So what I did, I created a rule of three. All right. So that rule of three is very, very easy. And it's just three basic rules. Okay. I'm going to find one, three reasons to buy, whether it's a hot sector, right? That's a collective conscious with everybody. Number two, I'm going to say that the math is the language of the universe. If I know that math and 2 + 2 in Africa is 4, 2 + 2 in South America is 4, 2 + 2 in America is 4, then the math is, it's truth. Everything else is an illusion. So I'll look at the chart, the price pattern and time. Okay. And then number three, I'll look at the supply and demand chain. If there's a low supply, high demand, that's going to give me reasons to buy. Now, if I'm going to buy a stock, all right, I know that patience, discipline will equal profits, but at the same time, I want to create a buy zone. I want to make sure that if I'm buying a stock, I'm going to create a disparity So I know what's going to be my floor. And the reason I tell you this is because if you can come up with a system where you're not going to go head first into a trade, you're going to embrace a pullback. I know a lot of people, nah, I don't add a pullback. I do add a pullback because you're not always going to be perfect. And let's say you take, 20% of what you have in your account and you throw it into a stock, right? And you don't have that much money. The moment that stock starts pulling back, you start getting scared. So that fear overcomes you, and then you get out of the trade. And then a guy like Radio Silent Play buys it, and then he locks profits on the way up.
There you go.
So what I tell my guys is create a bullet system, all right? A three bullet system, and name them. I say bullet number one, I name it the starter. That's where I'm going to buy my initial entry. Now, if it pulls back, I embrace it because my bullet number two is going to be called the pullback. All right. And then I'm going to be cheap. I'm going to be a spoiled brat. I want it right at the floor. If I don't get it at the right floor and it starts creeping up on me, then I add my last position. All right. And then what I call that bullet is the last entry. Now, once I have my position, you know what I do? I set my sell order to my personal profit margin. I can kind of relate to the chart, but I like to pick a personal profit margin that I could say that it's autotelic to me, meaning that I believe in it as much as I believe in breathing. And then I set it for good to cancel. Me, I stay in front of the computer, but what I tell my guys to do, shut it off. Shut it off, because why are you going to stay there and stare at a boiling pot? You ever try to stare at a boiling pot? It's not going to boil unless you walk away from it. Then it starts boiling. You have to understand that if you believe in it as much as you believe in breathing, that what it does is it gives you that kind of balance and that patience, that
Exactly.
peace. And that's why we do this shit. So then we don't have to go do a shit job. So then we don't have to worry about debt. That's the whole purpose to it. So that's how I kind of look at it. So three bullet system, right? A starter, a pullback, a last entry, and then I follow my rule of three. You can kind of add different kind of aspects to it, but I think that that comes later when intuition starts building up and your confidence starts building up. And I
Exactly.
think a lot of people sometimes they don't just do three bullets, right? They end up adding a more stock. You know what I mean? So that's something that I like to kind of like entertain to the people that follow me, and I post a lot of things on that as well.
Yeah, and that's what I noticed that a lot. We'll talk about a little more about those your sayings and stuff you post on Twitter a little later during the show when we get to the later part of the show. So let's actually talk about I mean, since we're kind of already on the topic as well, let's talk about like egos for a bit and like how do you keep like yours in check like during a big win? Because I know a lot of people, they win big and they're like, oh, I can do it again. Oh, this is nothing. This is easy. Like how do you keep yours in check, especially during a big win or maybe during a loss or something. How do you keep that in check?
Well, the thing about the ego is it's always going to be there. One of the things for me is like before I got in, onto this path, this journey that I'm in now, is I was in a really dark place. And for me, I was very anxious. I was very nervous. I used to use what they call the force of Caesar to do things, to make money. I opened two gyms. And when I opened those two gyms, I thought that was going to bring me happiness. And the reason I tell you this is because it's very important, because people think that money or having more of it is going to make you happy. What you want to do is you want to find the reasons why you do this shit. Because if it's for reasons that you want to kind of show off and things, then you're egoic. What I say to people is that they have to embrace that peace. They have to kind of be the monk by the lake. Because if you're like the samurai that is very kind of egoic, you're going to kind of get yourself into a heap of trouble. And I think that's one of the things. You have to maintain balance, because the objective is to win more than what you lose. Because in the market, you lose. You're going to win and you're going to lose. But if you can win more than what you lose, that then you're in infinite return. So
Exactly.
the thing that I tell guys to do is to make sure that they're doing it and they're always helping other people. If you're helping other people, that help revolves and it comes back around.
Exactly.
It's hard. I mean, when you're making shitloads of money and you have money in your account, then you want to start jumping into other trades. But follow your rules. The decision to follow rules okay, will lead to clarity. The decision to follow rules, okay, will lead to order. You don't want chaos.
No, of
So the
course not.
moment you take on, you know, or break a rule, just understand that it's not about right or wrong, because I'm not operating in duality, but you're going to get a different outcome. It could be a big ass profit, but you could look at your account and then next thing you know it, you're down 50%.
Exactly.
So
Yep.
that's one of the reasons that I tell guys, ground yourself, be the monk by the lake.
Exactly. Well said. Well said. So just let's move along here. So the recent surge of new traders has also brought some insane volatility. I think we can all agree in the OTC markets, specifically on the trips, you know, and doubles and the double O's. I know the SEC has been halting and cracking down on those skull, you know, the stocks with the skull and crossbones on. And I've seen a lot of people ask the question: do you think this is like, do you think it's like a te just a temporary thing, or do you think this is like becoming a new norm now with the OTC?
Well, look, I'm going to get into conspiracy a little bit. I think that a lot of people are making money right now. A lot of people are making money right now. When you start making money, what happens is the big wigs, they don't, you know, they want control. So, I mean, right now, what GameStop happened, it opened a lot of eyes. This has been going on from the dawns of time. When I got into this, I was following a guy named Penny Stock Gurus. And Penny Stock Gurus, when he would put out a stock, that thing would blow up. It would just go straight up parabolic. So, what I think that's happening right now is that they're noticing that a lot of people are getting into the market. So look at what censorship did. Censorship, they censored a lot of people's political views. And now you have to start taking into consideration what can they do to these Discord chat rooms? What can they do to these Reddit forums? What can they do? So anytime where they come in and they start kind of like imposing rules, look, it's the flow of information. If you're stopping something, the big wigs are doing it anyway. Hedge funds are doing the same shit. You know what I mean? But you have to take into consideration too that a lot of these OTC companies, they're not current in filings, and you have a lot of people that are trading these shit triple zero stocks, these stocks that are that I guess aren't current, or they have caveat emptors. And what they do is they go into these rooms and they pump the shit out of them. So you're talking about people now that go into rooms and tell you, hey, look, listen, don't lock, keep, hold it, hold it, hold it. So I think that it's good and it's bad in a sense, but at the same time, I don't think that there should be any type of regulation, because whenever you put in more regulation, that what you're doing is you're messing up the free market. But there is, I mean, you're seeing it. Look at these shit stocks that have rallied, and then they came in and they shut them down. I think one of them was SCIE, another one was COUV. But think about all these people that never locked profits on the way up. But that's entirely their fault, because if they're holding on to something and they're just holding on just to dear life because somebody in a chat room is telling them to hold, then you have to kind of like learn from the experience and say, hey, maybe I was doing something a little bit off. But I'll be honest with you, man. I think that people have to just let this market go, and they just gotta, you know, let whatever happens, happens.
I agree.
That's me personally, man. I believe in libertarianism. I think that freedom, let freedom reign. If you're gonna do something stupid, then you have the right to be stupid and lose all your money. You know what I
Yep,
mean?
exactly.
Well, look at that stock that you were trading. I listened to one of your podcasts, mine, you know, the MINE. I would never touch that with a 10-foot pole, but look what it's doing now. It's a beautiful move.
Exactly.
So I don't want to see them come in and start telling people, hey, you can't buy this. Just be cautious about it, because they are hampering down, though. But that's my kind of opinion on that.
And I agree, and that's why you just gotta tread carefully, especially with all these. Like they're down there for a reason, you know. Either it was, you know, but and you also got to think about, you know, COVID also hit as well. So are these companies still, you know, operational now because of that? And how, you know, how has their operations changed completely because of it? You know, I know a lot of companies are not filing or they're late on the filings. They're becoming delinquent because of that. You know, because of the COVID delays and whatnot, and all this stuff working from home and whatnot. So, but a lot of these companies, again, like you were saying, they're the trips. They went from trips to like pennies to dollars. Like, and it's just the organic growth is not it's not
A lot
like
of millionaires,
yeah.
a lot of millionaires were made. If you look at that ticker symbol TSMP, you're talking about a stock that went from 0001 to a dollar. So sometimes, like, you could really, get some money. You could really change your life with this. But at the same time, not every stock is going to be like that. So, but I always look, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of these stocks are going to be shit on a platter. It's from NASDAQ to blue chips. I mean, if you really think about it, are really people investing right now? If you look at what the markets are doing right now, are you really investing, a big amount of money at these levels? I mean, personally, I'm not investing in this. If I were to invest in something, I would invest in something that I know is viable into the future. And if you look at things like that, well, I'm very, very bullish on blockchain because it's the future. But when it comes to buying stocks at an all-time highs, I'm not doing it, and I'm not holding them. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that people understand that the objective of this is to turn a lump of coal into gold, and that's infinite return. You know what I mean? So that's my main kind of, like, I want people to understand that, because that's the true aspect and the true thing out of this.
Of course. That's exactly it. And then let's say if you're not locking in profits, like what are you really doing? And that's how I always think. It's like, you're doing this for a reason. Obviously you're here to make money. If you're not making money, you're holding on to something for dear life forever and just watching it go down. It's just like, and you didn't take anything off the table. It's just like, it's a little silly. But all right, so let's go ahead and move on. Just to remind everybody, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel if you find our content helpful. We'll continue to keep putting content out on our channel, and we'll be having new guests coming on the show monthly. I mean, we usually have like two guests coming on our show monthly, so please do like, subscribe if you like our content, you're enjoying this. So let's go ahead and move on to some of the fun stuff. I mean, like, not saying that we weren't having fun already, but let's have some fun. So I think a lot of people would like to know, like, how and why did you start trading? Like, was there anyone that was like a mentor to you when you started? Or was it just like self-taught?
Well, I'll tell you this. I was in the military. I got out of the military. And when I got out of the military, I was like a little bit confused of what I wanted to do. It was one of the last resorts that I had was to buy a laptop. And I'm going to say that when I bought a laptop, I'll tell you, I didn't even know how to use computers. So that's how I guess people are going to figure out my age. Damn, how old is radio? So what I say by that is that I opened up an E-Trade account, and I put some money in there, and one of my first stocks, and this is why I hate triple zeros. My mom had given me 2,500, and hopefully she's not listening to this, but I bought a stock MUTM at like 0004 because I was thinking, it can only go up, and the thing went to no bid, and I lost my mom's money. So I went into a forum or a group chat, and the guy that was on there, I think he's a legend. I don't know what happened to him, man. I think he just disappeared. He's like that guy that came up with Bitcoin. What's the guy that came out with Bitcoin? What's his name? Satoshi
Yes, to
Nakamoto, right?
yeah.
You know how he's like gone. Well, Penny Stock Gurus, Bob Wilcox, he's gone. But he used to have a chat room, and he would leave. He would go on like trips. And I never knew what this guy looked like, but when he would leave, I would start posting stocks on this forum, and then people were liking them, and they were like, "Oh, radio, because I used to use radio too. Hey, radio, you should come out with your own website." And I was like, "Nah." And then I opened at the time a Skype, and they all came and shifted towards me. And I think Bob Wilcox kind of got kind of pissed. And then from there it just rolled. We were doing just penny stocks, and we were doing good. I opened up a website, then I opened up a mobile application, and it was all about having fun. But I wasn't as good as it was now, because I didn't have a following. I think I only had like maybe 1,000, 2,000 followers. But the main thing that I had with it was that it was an outlet. You know what I mean? I was working at a gym, making shit money. I was going to community colleges, taking up school loans, and just wasting my time. And when that all happened, I felt like, oh shit, I'm actually kind of good at something. But I wasn't so intricate with the charts until I met, or not really met, but I joined a mentorship with somebody,
Gotcha.
and he taught me how to kind of look at charts. And when I started doing that, I started incorporating that into penny stocks. But he would tell me, "Yo, this shit doesn't really work with penny stocks. You know, this really works with the big ones." But I was like, "No, it actually." And I started kind of like focusing more on the OTCs, and then it worked out. But then there was a point in time where I let it go because E-Trade had blocked me, you know. And when they blocked me from using their thing, I was like, "Yo, what's going on?" Like, I thought I did something wrong, and they closed my accounts, and I was like, "Damn! So now what am I gonna do?" You know what I mean? I just bought a gym. And I just bought, and I just had opened my second gym, and I was like kind of nervous. I was like thinking, man, did I do something wrong? Am I gonna get like somebody knocking on my door? The feds are gonna come down and ask me what's going on. But I stopped doing it, and I focused more on actually the gyms. And then the gyms weren't really doing good. You know, I had like the gym business is almost as same as you know these newsletters on Twitter or like these Twitter feeds. There's so much ego in the gym business. Like every gym wants to be the
The
best.
best.
So they would shit on our gym. And they would shit on our gym, give us bad reviews, trying to like screw us over. But everybody loved our gym. But then something came over me to open up a new place because I wanted to show them, look, I opened up a new place. And when I opened up that new place, I'll tell you, man, I just put so much pressure on my back. I had to come up with so much rent. I had a beach house in Baja California. I had so much shit. I had houses. I had all this stuff from like trading and doing all this stuff. And then I felt like, damn, I put myself in such a hole. So I left trading, but then I don't know if you guys follow Hustle. Hustle had given me a call, and he was like, he said, "Hey man, when are you gonna come back?" And I was like, "I don't know. I don't know about this." And he was like, "No, come back, come back. People are asking about you." And I was like, "Yeah, right." And then I had, and then he got me to come back, and I started trading again, and I started the radio silent play. He started telling everybody, "Hey, he's coming back. He's coming back." And then
Nice.
we opened up a Discord channel. And when we opened up that Discord channel, we have such a great team. There's a guy, Jeremy, there's a guy, Pablo. A couple of guys really did such a great job with creating such a beautiful community that, we started doing pretty good. And what kind of got us off the ground, and I always say this, and you guys got to get him on your show, is Yates Investing.
Oh yeah, we've been
Yates,
trying.
yeah, he tweeted me out. And when he tweeted me out, you know, like it really, really helped me out. And I was in a bad spot because I was about to get rid of my gym in Jersey. And, my relationship with my family wasn't that great. So I was in a really dark place. But you got to be in those dark places to kind of see what, you know, that there's, you know, light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
And I take that from the lizard because I listen to the lizard. So if he thinks I'm biting off him, it's true though. So during that time, I was coaching and I was training at the gym, and I had met this guy. His name was Alistair, an Irishman. He speaks just like Conor McGregor. And he owned a pub, like a bar near my gym. And he came in and I started coaching him. And then I was about to train him. And then he goes, "Hey, man, I'm not going to be able to come in next week." And I'm like, "Why? What's up, brother?" He goes, "I'm going to do the toad." And I was like, "Shit, you're gonna do the toad? What do you mean? You're talking about DMT?" And he goes, "Oh shit, you know about that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've been doing like a lot of research on it. I know that Mike Tyson had just done it, and it's something that I was thinking about doing it." So he goes, "You know what, man? I'm gonna do it, and then when I come back, I'll tell you how it is." So yo, I tell you, I kid you not, man. Like about 2 to 3 weeks passed by, and I didn't see Alistair come back. And then I was like, damn, man. So this guy left. He was one of my best clients. And then he comes back, man. And he had just a cheeseburger smile. And he was stressed the heck out too beforehand. But he was just so happy. And the moment he saw me, he gave me a big old hug. And he goes, "Yo, you gotta do it. You
Oh,
gotta
man.
do it. And I was like, oh man. He goes, no, do it, do it. And you know what? I'm gonna make the appointment next week. And I'm like, oh shit, all right, I'll do it. And then I remember working because I was working with Deutsche Bank and I had worked long ass hours. I overslept and I forgot that that meeting was there. And that meeting was that meetup to do the toad was like at 10 in the morning. And this is New York time. And this guy calls me and it's like 3 o'clock in the city. And he tells me, yo, where you at, man? And I'm like, oh shoot. And I was trying to cop out. I was like, because I don't know if you know about DMT, man. It's something that a lot of people say it's scary. So I was like, oh man. He goes, don't worry, I'll wait for you. And mind you, this guy's been waiting there at since 10 in the morning. So when I went there, I live far from the city, New York, because I live in Jersey. And I got there, and when he saw me, it was already like, I'm gonna say like around 4 or 5 o'clock, and he just gave me a big hug, and I was like, damn, if that was me, I would have been pissed. But he goes, yo, don't worry about it. And then we went, and then I knocked on the guy's door, and it was a shaman, and yo, I tell you, man, I felt like it was a cult, man. But when I went in there, they just embraced me with such love, and I was just so nervous, man. But the funny thing, the day before that, man, I had signed and I sold a little piece of my gym, so I was feeling a little bit bummed. But I did it, and it was one of the craziest, wildest, one of the most intense experiences, and it kind of led me to kind of be the way I am now. And I think it was one of the most kind of life-changing experiences that I've ever had. I'm not promoting it, you know, but
Of
I'll tell you this.
course.
I think if everybody in this world would do it, it would be just a totally different world.
That's awesome.
One of the things I tell you about is you start seeing that that's more realer than real. And this feels so much like illusion. That's why, like, to me, honestly, when I trade this shit, when I trade stocks, it really doesn't matter to me whether I lose or not, man. It's about helping people.
That's
So
it.
that's the most gratifying thing to me. So that's my little short tidbit, you know. I know I ramble a
No,
lot, but
that's
that's.
okay. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people wanted to know more about, who Radio Silent Play is, and not just, just a, person on Twitter, giving advice and stuff and giving out stocks, but it's more about like learning who you are, as a person behind, Twitter on its own. So, no, I appreciate you even sharing all that stuff. So, that's great. I mean, you're from New Jersey, I'm from New York City. I was born in the Bronx, so I mean,
Right.
we're
Well,
practical
I'm actually
neighbors.
I was born in Brooklyn,
Oh,
and then
Brooklyn.
what?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then what happened was I ended up, renting my place there in Brooklyn, and then I moved to a
Gotcha.
cheaper home
Gotcha,
in
gotcha.
Jersey. So I'm very, very frugal. I'm not like those ballers that buy all this crazy stuff, man.
No,
I don't think I even spend my money. You know what I mean? I was listening to Spatafora, like the Wolf of Wheat Street, and all that stuff. I see some of these guys what they buy, like the vehicles, and I don't know. I just don't see myself doing that. Not a knock on them, but man, I haven't even bought myself a new pair of shoes, man.
I thought like, heck, this guy's probably wakes up in Barbados every morning, you know.
Yeah, no, that's
I
just
know, I
a
know, I know.
different
Just saying.
state of being. Yeah, man. But I
So
am in Barbados, though. I am.
that's true. There you go. So I think everybody kind of wants to know as well, like, where did the name Radio Silent Plays come from? Like, where did that come from? Like, I'm actually interested. Like, what does it
Right.
mean to
So,
you as well?
in the military, there's something called radio silent. So if you ever get into an area where it's really, really kind of like you don't know if there could be an IED or any type of this explosive, what they tell you to do is to go radio silent.
Gotcha.
Like, put your comms on radio silent. And to me, radio silent to me is like I like that for trading. And I know people with, oh yeah, you're just a preloader. No, I just buy stocks silently when, nobody gives a shit about them. And, I think that that's the hardest thing to do is to buy when nobody cares, because when nobody wants it, that's the contrarian kind of feel to it. People don't want to touch it. And I like buying stocks when they're hated. I'll give you an example. I remember when I bought NNDM. I don't know if you know nanotech dimensions. That thing was at 72 cents and it was just hated. I think it was just me, and I don't know if it was Mitch Picks or somebody had mentioned it, but I had posted that on Mr. Antonio Costa's. I think he has like a blog, and he was posting on Vissle, and I'm just gonna give him a shout out. Yeah, he blocked me, And I was like, I never said anything bad about the guy, but now look at what the stock is doing. It's trading at $15. I know they had an offering, but
Today,
that's the type of stocks that I like. I like buying stocks when everybody hates them. You know what I mean? That's hence radio silent.
And one thing we say is buy when they cry and then sell when they yell.
There you go. There you go. I never heard of that one, but yeah,
There
something like that.
you go. So just to move on to just a little bit. So like, what's your favorite style of trading? Like, are you more of like a swing trader, or it just depends on the current condition of the market? Like, I think I'm just gonna just from myself just gonna assume that you're more of a swing trader because I see your like your style and how you read charts and whatnot. So what's your style of
Yeah,
just trading?
like I don't even think I'm a swing trader, man. I think what it is I was based out of Hawaii, and I understand waves, and I understand that the universe works in waves and frequencies. If you look at it through the perspective of the universe, nothing just goes up, up, up. There's fluctuations, there's ebb and flows. So with that sentiment is if I'm buying a stock, let's say Mara, and I'm following that stock, I know that I have my floor, and I know that it's going to retrace to, specific supports. So it's okay to buy these stocks back. And if you're holding some stocks, hold it. Like me personally, I've heard you guys, and I know that I'm going to agree to disagree with some of you guys because I know that you guys are saying, no, I won't hold anything. I hold a lot of times. And if a stock doesn't close below my floor on two consecutive closes, I'm holding. Either two outcomes can happen. Either my stock hits my personal profit margin and I lock, or that stock closes below my floor on two consecutive closes and then I exit the trade. Look at today, AIKI. I was trading that since 56 cents all the way up. Now, I didn't like it wasn't like I held all the way up. No, I was buying, selling, buying, selling, buying, selling,
Exactly.
all the way up to where it was. And then they announced an offering and I just re-added all my shares back at 187. So that's how I approach the market.
Gotcha.
I look at it as if I tell all my buddies, hey man, let's go to the North Shore and let's go ride some waves. I'm not going to tell them, hey, let's go to the North Shore and ride a wave, bro, and then come back. It just makes no sense. So what I say is, look, find something that you kind of agree with. Don't be so afraid, okay, to kind of go long because overall, the markets, they go up because the dollar goes down. And at no point do I expect the dollar to go up, especially with a 1.9 trillion kind of stimulus going on. Now, don't get me wrong, we're going to have a correction soon. I mean, if you ask me what I think later on, I'll give you my kind of my theology or my thoughts on it. But for the meantime, it is what it is until it isn't. So,
Exactly.
you just trade, but your objective is to make money, you know what I mean?
Exactly. As long as you keep to that objective, then that's it. Exactly. So just to kind of go, kind of touch up on a little more of that and kind of jump into something else. So how do you handle the psychological aspect of a loss? I know you talked about like if something hits, I guess your stop or something, it hits right under wherever you have a mental stop at. So I know you kind of answered it earlier, but like more of a, I guess you can kind of reiterate a little bit more, like how you handle the psychological aspect of a loss. Is it more just like, hey, it's happened. I already knew what I was going into, and I already know the outcome. Like basically, I know how I'm going to react because of the loss. Like how do you explain that exactly?
Well, I'll tell you this. Look, and I'm going to put into this context, like the whole market is emotions. So you know that it's the fear of loss and the fear of missing out. So how do I kind of refrain from that? What I can do is start off with the least amount of money. So if you can start off with the least amount of money, okay, that's your number one start because the moment you go into your account and you take that initial money and you take it out, now mathematically speaking, you're never going to lose money ever again. So you're never going to be at a loss. Like give you an example. When I started my account, I started my account with I think 300 bucks. Right. And when I started my account with 300 bucks, my mom gave me 2,500, but I still had those 300 bucks. Now, okay, I don't even look at how much money I have in my account. I never, if you notice, I'll never post my account because I'm an infinite return. That's a state of being. So I'm never worried about taking a loss because I'm an infinite return. So I have more than $300. And if I asked you right now, I said, look, if I can give you a stock right now, a 15,000% winner, or I can give you a strategy that's going to give you infinite return until until you die, what would you pick? So I'm never losing. So the reason I say that is because if a stock closes, let's say I buy ticker symbol NOVN, and I buy NOVN and my buy zones are between 30 and 36, right? And then the stock on a Thursday closes at 28 cents. And then on Friday, it closes at 26 cents. I don't go and look for validation to hold on to that. I get the fuck out.
Yep,
I
exactly.
GTFO. And the way I kind of relate that to is if I'm in a building and I know the strongest structural support is the 15th floor, and that floor is compromised, and I'm up there on the 16th floor with my family having dinner, I'm not going down to the 10th, 9th floor. I'm getting the fuck out because I'm living another, I get to live another day. So
There you
live
go.
another day to trade. So if a stock pulls back and it closes below your floor on two consecutive closes, guess what? You live to trade another day, and then you take that money and then put it into a good trade.
There you go.
So if you can manage that and you can do that over and over and over and over and over, guess what? You're going to be an infinite return. So I think what was the last one that I got burnt? I got burnt on CHAP, CHAP, and I got burnt on, what was the other one? It was another, a TAT.
Oh,
TAT.
okay, yeah.
TAT was a, and they both filed bankruptcy. They were great charts on share structures were low, but oil stocks, they were a risk.
Yep.
And it hurt me more to see people asking me, hey man, what's going on with CHAP? Hey man, what's, that hurt me more.
Yeah.
I felt like going into my account and just sending them PayPal and saying, here, you never lost. You know what I mean? But I don't want to do that because then I got to do it with everybody. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
exactly. Nope. Yeah, I completely
But
agree with
yeah,
you.
I'll be honest with you. I posted a picture, and I know Conor McGregor is saying, I either win or I learn.
Yeah.
I never lose.
There you go. That's it. So I know you have a couple like great sayings on Twitter, and I think that one that sticks with me and a lot of folks is the a watch pot never boils.
Right.
And can you explain, I guess, to folks that tuning in, like what your interpretation of that of what it means, I guess, in relation to like the stock market?
Okay, so what I'm gonna say is, it's I'm not gonna say what it means. Well, I'll say both.
Sure.
A watch pot never boils. To me, it's don't let a stock consume you. Okay, we're not doing this, okay, because we want to make a shitloads of money. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to understand that the most valuable thing that you have is time.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I'm buying a stock, I'm gonna buy, set it and forget it, and then go do the things that I love to do. That's why we do this. Okay, so we could spend more time, at the gym if we love doing some squats, or if we love, spending time with our families, watching some movies or reading some books with our kids. Because let me tell you this, my kids, my daughter is 19 now, my son is 17, and I missed a lot of time because I was always chasing that dollar. So to me, it's a little bit more powerful. But when it relates to the stock, you're only gonna mind fuck yourself by staring at it.
Yeah.
It's not gonna do anything. Because think about that one guy that was staring at Mara at 42 cents, then it got to $1, $1.90. It's at 41 bucks right now. And if you just stared at it, you mind fucked yourself. You know, you
Exactly.
knew Bitcoin was gonna break out. You knew that. Okay. But you just kept on staring at it, staring at it, saying, oh man, there's an offering. Oh man, they're diluting. Oh man. But you knew if Bitcoin goes to 100K, do you think Mara is going to stay at 40 cents a dollar?
Exactly.
You have to look at the big picture. And by you staring at it, all you're going to do is just mind fuck yourself.
That's it. Exactly. And I completely agree with that too. It's like so many plays, like if you held anything, I'm not
Oh,
gonna say
yeah.
everything, but like for most stuff, like from the dip, where we got, when COVID first started, like
Oh my
right after
gosh.
COVID, like a mat, like
Yeah.
Tesla, like even all the, it doesn't matter, like
Disney was
yeah,
at
this,
72 bucks.
yep,
You know what I
exactly.
mean? ExxonMobil was shit. I remember picking up all these stocks. I don't talk about what I invest, but I picked up a lot of stocks. When NVIDIA, look what NVIDIA is doing right now. So yeah, of course, man.
Nuts.
SWKS, now I'm giving you all my long plays. PayPal, Square. I mean,
Yep.
these perfect buying opportunities, but just people look and they get mind fucked by going on TV. Oh yeah, the crash is coming. But, oh no, it's gonna go, that's it. The markets are done.
We're gonna crash again. Yeah, it's like,
There you
no.
go. You
It's,
gotta avoid the noise, you know what
that's
I
it.
mean?
That's it. Exactly. So, just to move on real quick, so here, kind of close up the show a little bit. I do want to get through this last point here. So, can you take us like through a, like a typical morning of trading for you? You turn the computer on, or you get the 200. You're talking about the 200 tweets a day and whatnot. What's it like waking up in Barbados,
Well, I'll
and
tell you
trading and stuff?
that's a great question because I think that routine, it has a lot to do with the routine. One of the things that before I go to bedtime, I do meditations. One of the things is you got to ground yourself for the next morning. Part of kind of the power of that you have is that subconscious and that's that deep thought. The Jesuits used to say, you give me your child from the ages of 0 to 7, I'll give you a man. Unfortunately, a lot of us, the way we've grown up, we've been conditioned to be feeble, to think that we're nothing. You know what I mean? We've seen our parents argue, we've seen our parents and then not really having that much money. So there's a way to kind of tap into this. Recommendations that I tell people to read, maybe get on and start reading books on the power of the subconscious. There's a book by Dr. Joe Dispenza called Becoming Supernatural. There's another book called Conversations with God. These type of books, and another one, and I think Steve Jobs says that if it's one book that I can read, it's the book by Parmesan Yogananda, and it's Autobiography of a Yogi. You have the inner world creates the outer world. The kingdom of heaven, is within. So what I like doing at night is I like putting on my headsets and I like kind of tapping into that theta, that subconscious. As I'm falling asleep, I'll listen to maybe affirmations and it'll empower me. So when I wake up in the morning, as I'm kind of groggy, I'll throw on another video and I'll listen to, something amazing is going to happen today. So I already, when I'm waking up, I'm already putting myself in that kind of mental state. Then I'll go and I'll walk my dog. As I walk my dog, I really built a great relationship with Hustle, and I'll call him and we'll start kind of reviewing while I'm walking my dog. That kind of gives me peace too, like walking my dog. I start talking to him. I was trying to work out in the morning. That's really kind of tough to do. I do that like later on because sometimes you're over at the gym all the time. But for the most part, I like doing that. As far as what I was doing before, I was doing microdosing with psilocybin with my teas. I since stopped doing that because I didn't want to get so dependent on it. But when I get on the computer, I want to look at my watch list. I have a board here, like a dry erase board, and I write down all my tickers and I'll just look at them. I'm very old school. I don't have a shitload of screens and all this stuff. I'll look at my watch list on my dry erase board, and then I'll look at what's going on, if there's any pre-market movement and things of that nature. And then I want to make sure that I have all my sell orders ready to go, because you want to make sure that when stocks start moving, you don't want to have to go in there and start whacking bids and start kind of scumbagging the place. I like everything to be nice and fluid. And then I jump on the phone with one of my two best friends. I Hustle and I got another guy. His name is In My Lab, and they're like really funny guys. I don't I, and I, That's one of the recommendations. Like, find somebody that you're really cool with. I'm sure you guys do that too,
Course.
and you guys joke around on, because you can't always get too consumed by this.
No.
I'll throw on some music. Sometimes I'll listen to some deep house, or I'll listen to some Bob Marley. But for the most part, I want to have fun with this. And sometimes I'll take a break, right? And then I'll go do maybe like a 12, 15 minute meditation. I not gonna bullshit you. For the last couple of weeks, because it's been so busy and there's been so much money to be made, I have kind of refrained from meditating in the afternoons. But it's good to kind of get away and to kind of relax your eyes, because this thing becomes very, very strenuous. But yeah, I have fun with this. I like this. You know what I mean? And then sometimes I'm on the Discord chat. I'm not in a shitload of Discord chats, by the way. I run one myself, which I screen, okay? And then I'm in one with good friends at King Street. Those guys, you know, were really kind enough to kind of add me. And then I kind of been with the flow of information with them. So overall, I'm very strict with my Discord channel. I know a couple of people were, you know, took screenshots and were saying that I was like a tyrant, that I run a cult. Well, if you want to say that, you know, I guess it is, but I just don't like ticker tape parades in my chat room. I'm very, very selective in who I put in that room. And look, I could tell you, man, we've changed a lot of lives. I've seen people on here that have sent me messages. It's very personal to me, so I don't like to retweet them or copy and paste it and put it on there. Because look, it's not about promotion. To me, you know, that personal stuff, that's the most rewarding thing to me. And then when I see these guys bash me, because I got a lot of haters. I don't know if you know, but I got a shitload of haters. And I always think of myself as, I remember when I used to watch the Knicks, and when I used to get home from church, and I would go and watch the Knicks play the Bulls. And it was Charles Barkley, not Charles Barkley, Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, Xavier McDaniel, John Starks, and Charles Smith. And they would just bang up, you know, get into wars with the Bulls. And then Michael Jordan would take over, and I would be, damn, I hate Michael Jordan. But look, I love him now. You know what I mean? One of the greatest players. And look, I'm just misunderstood. They could, you know, people don't understand that to me, it's not about the money. You know, my objective is to get people out of that allegory of the cave,
That's it.
because right now, who gives a shit who's the president? Who cares what the Federal Reserve was doing? We got to become our own central bank.
That's it.
We have to be our own president. And it all starts in the community. And that's why the RSP trading verse, it's everyone, you know, and it's Numa. It's we are one. You know, it's the collective consciousness of all. Once we understand that and we stop being tribal, then we kind of like break out, and that's when that collective conscious starts kind of taking over. And I think that that's where I think that we're heading to. And this is one of them, you know, this outlet right here, Phase One Trading. I think that you guys are doing great things. And I think that you guys are going to bring the community together. And I think that if you could have more people and really get people to understand, shit, it's not about who calls the stupid
Yeah,
thing.
no.
Who gives a shit? You know what I
That's it.
mean? It's about everyone making money and not having to fucking be enslaved by the system that we're in. So
Exactly.
that's
And
my main thing.
and then turning just all there's just so much like negativity and stuff. And it's like for me, honestly, I take that as more of like I think you agree with it too. I think I take that more of like a strength, like a positivity. You know, I turn that into a positive where I'm like, okay, you can hate on everything I'm doing, but I know what what I stand for, and helping, if I can give back to break other people out the system, then that's basically it. You know, like, you know, we're all here to help each other out. We all have all a common goal. You know, so like, why do we have to, you know, hate on people, you know, just because maybe they're winning more than you, or it's just like there's no excuse. You know, it's just, you know, just turn that negativity to a positivity, and just like move on. You know, it's just we're all in the same game. You know, we're all one, we all have one common goal. You know, maybe some people have different goals and stuff, but we know what we want. You know, so just this.
And it has a lot to do with frequency too.
No.
There's a lot of people that kind of they've been dealt a bad card, and they just feel
That's
sorry for
it.
themselves. And I think that sometimes you just got to avoid that frequency. I you know, look, right now what I do on the weekends is I take on free 30-minute calls. And I'll tell you, I do these things all the way up till about 8 o'clock, and they're free. And what I do is I do a little presentation on the law of infinite return. And the law of infinite return is that is it just states that you start off with the least amount of money and you infinitely grow it.
That's
But I
it.
want it to resonate with them, but not resonate to them to the point that it's just to go buy shit they don't need. It's for them to realize that, you know, life is meant to kind of be happy. And one of the questions that I ask the people that I kind of mentor, I say, what do you want in life? Like, what do you want in life? And they say, well, I just want to be happy. And then I tell them, but what's going to make you happy? Well, if I make more money, if I pay more debt, if I buy a house, if I buy a new car, if I find somebody, if I have a family. And then I tell them, look, what I want you to do is just come up with these three words, come up with this mantra. And they're like, what? And I say, come up with these three words when you start thinking that you're not happy. And then what? Because if you keep on saying that this is going to make you happy, and then what? You're going to be in the same boat the rest of your life. So the whole purpose of this is happiness is a state of mind. So if people are watching this, just relax, be happy, you know, live your life in the present because there is no past, there is no future, because tomorrow is going to be the present. So live your day life as if it were your last. And I love this saying, live the life that you love, not the life that you live. And I'll end it with that, you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. That is amazing. That is well said. So, anyways, I just want to just kind of just say thank you. Honestly, just thank you, you know, Radio, for you coming onto the show and just, you know, just coming on tonight and educating everyone that's listening. You know, just we know this game is not, you know, we know this game is hard. We know it's boring. You know, it is. But once we break, you know, we break through these barriers and we break free, you know, through all these restraints that we have, you know, we can make, you know, a living, you know, we can make a complete living off of this, and you don't have to work that 9 to 5, you know. That it's just to show you that, you know, anyone can do it. You just have to, you know, just be committed, you know, don't give up, and constantly just tell yourself that, you know. Because I quit. I'm gonna tell you personally, I quit myself multiple times, but I one thing that what that came for me is I never gave up, you know. I never gave up because I always knew that this is something I wanted to do, you know. And yeah, we're gonna go through all these, you know, all these, you know, you're gonna go through all the negativity, you're gonna go through all the blood and sweat through it, but in the end, it's all worth it. It's all worth it for whatever you do it for, your family, for yourself, no matter what it is. So just believe in yourself and you can do it.
Right, that you just said it. That's the magic word is
Yep.
belief.
That's
It's the
it.
belief in the unseen. And that's the most powerful thing that you have. So once you notice that, you know, you have to kind of channel that. Once you channel that, you're in what you call infinite intelligence and
That's
the
it.
state of flow.
That's
So
it.
yeah, definitely. And I hope that one day we can, you know, redo this. Maybe get some guys to come on. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? I
No,
know
that.
you had a couple of people, like you had the Lizard, you had the Stock Baller, which he's great on triple zeros, and I never see the triple zeros, and I think that sometimes, you know, it's misconstrued that I don't like the guy, but he's doing great things. So I would love to maybe do a three-way.
Definitely. Yeah, we can do definitely host something like that. That'd be awesome. I mean, just having like, you know, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different minds, you know, coming together and with all one, you know, one common goal, because we're all here really to educate, you know, everybody. We're here, you know, we're here to make, you know, make things happen. So, you know, so anyways, I just kind of want to also thank, you know, everyone here who supports our content, you know, as we continue to grow. And we're all here for you guys, you know. We do this for you guys. We want you guys to break out of the constraints and everything. So, as mentioned earlier, we are planning to expand our content onto Spotify and other like media outlets, to be accessible to like our current and future audience. So stay tuned for updates regarding that. And just be sure to check out, I mean, if you guys aren't ready, be sure to check out Radio Silent on Twitter, with the at symbol at Radio Silent Play, and his website, radiosilentplaytrading.com. All the links are available on the video description below. So is there anything else you want to, I guess, leave the audience with, Radio,
Well, just
tonight?
remember that you're always going to be on Barbados. It's a state of mind. So I am in Barbados. That means that you're already there. So you don't even have to hope. All you have to do is believe.
Yeah,
You know? So that's
that's
all
it.
I got.
That's it. So, all right, guys. Well, we appreciate you all and you wish you the best of luck. Have a good night, guys. We love you all. Take care. All right, end of the stream there. There you go.